happy to be in church today. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It is such an honor to be here and to be with the Smiths and with all of you guys. And don't know any of you, and y'all don't know me, but we have the same Father. And that's what matters. So you can be seated. If I took three pots of water, of hot water, and I placed it up here, and I put an egg in one of them, the egg would get hard. I could place vegetables in the second one, and the vegetables would get soft. I could take coffee and put into the third one, and the aroma would fill the house. The same water has different effects on different things. And the same is true with us. God puts us through hot water. And some get hard. Some get soft. And some come in and let the aroma of their worship fill the atmosphere. So you lost your job. So you lost a family member. So you got cancer. The choice is yours. You can get bitter. You can leave the house of God. Or you can come in with your hands raised and say, God, though you slay me, still will I trust you. Still will I worship you. And I can feel that in this place today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you've got your Bibles, I'm going to go to two passages of Scripture. Joshua chapter 7, then Hosea chapter 2. Thought Indiana was supposed to be cool. So up north, and boy was I wrong. Boy was I wrong. Joshua chapter 7, verse 24 through 26. Now you guys are used to steak and prime rib, but if it's all right this morning, I'm going to give you a bologna sandwich. So I'm from Tennessee, and that's how we roll. So Joshua 7, verse 24. And Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters, his oxen and his asses, his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. We're also going to be reading in Hosea chapter 2. Verses 15 and 16. And I will give her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor. Somebody say the valley of Achor. For a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be on that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Baali. For a few minutes today, we are going to talk about a door in Death Valley. A door in Death Valley. Let's ask God to help us, to help me, to open our ears and our hearts to receive the word today. In the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for your presence, for your glory that we can feel in this house, God. I ask you that you would anoint my lips, anoint my mind, God. Anoint our ears and hearts to receive your word, Jesus. That your will and your work would be accomplished in this house. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you're going to help me, you can be seated. If you're not, just remain standing so we know who it is that's not helping me today. So I got plenty of help, it looks like. So Joshua and the children of Israel had just came into the promised land, crossing the Jordan. After wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, they had... If you don't know the story, most of us do, but they had been in bondage for 400 years, and then God had given them a promise of a land. And after wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, now finally that promised time has come. Finally, it's time to cross over the Jordan into the day that they had been waiting for their whole lives. For 40 years, they had looked forward to this one day that finally they would obtain the promised land. I'm sure as their children was growing up, they passed it on to them and said, right now it's difficult, right now it's bad, but one day we're going to be in the promised land. One of these days, there's a promise that's waiting us. And so finally they had came into that promised land and crossed the Jordan, and the first obstacle in the way for them was Jericho. Just because you have a promise doesn't mean that there's not going to be problems still. There's still obstacles you have to face. So they came to Jericho, and many of us know the story of God. God told Joshua to march around the city of Jericho a total of 13 times, and then the walls was going to fall down and they could take the city. On the seventh day, he told Joshua, he said, okay, today is the day that the walls are going to fall down. And when the trumpets are blown and the horns are sounded, the people shout and rejoice, then the walls are going to fall down. But he told them, he gave them very clear instructions that once the walls had fallen and they had went into to Jericho, to not take anything. He said, don't take the silver, the gold, don't take anything because it's cursed. They was to take the silver and gold and candlesticks into the house of God, that God could use them. There was one among them that did not heed to this. It was after the Battle of Jericho. They had great victory. And now it was time to go on to the next city, which was Ai. And then Ai, Joshua sent spies out to spy the land and to decide how many, how big they was. Are they giants? Or what's the city of Ai like? So in the city of Ai, he sent his spies. His spies come back and they say, Joshua, there's no need of sending the whole army. These people are small. There's not many of them. And send 2,000 or 3,000 men and we could easily overtake the city. Joshua heeded to their advice and sent 3,000 men to Ai. And they was in for quite a surprise. Because the men of Ai attacked them and run them out of Ai while killing 36 men. So the children of Israel was in much grief over the loss of these men. And the children of Israel was even wishing they was back in bondage. We wish we would have stayed in the wilderness instead of obtaining this. Why did God bring us here to fail us? Why did God bring us here to let us down? And so after prayer, Joshua heard a word from God and he says, there's a cursed thing in your city. Someone has taken from the city. And so through several steps, Joshua finally found the man, Achan, that had committed this trespass and stolen gold and silver and garments from Jericho. Joshua and the children of Israel took Achan into the valley of Achor. The valley of Achor was a valley that was right outside Jerusalem. If someone was coming to Jerusalem, to the temple, or leaving the temple, you would go through the valley of Achor. If it was a main thoroughfare, much like this road here, I don't know the name or the number of it, but it is the main thoroughfare through town. Much was the same with the valley of Achor. It was normal that they passed through there. So Joshua took this man, Achan, into the valley of Achor and stoned him and his family and all of his possessions. Then they set them on fire and burned them in that valley. The children of God took one and stoned them in this valley. From that day forward, the valley of Achor became known as a place of trouble or a valley of destruction. It became a valley of broken dreams and a valley of stoning, a valley of death. For 650 years, the valley of Achor is not mentioned in our Bibles. For 650 years, the children of Israel avoided the valley of Achor because of the bad memories, because of the things that that haunted their mind. It was the place of affliction. It was the place of torment. It was the place of death. It was there that they remember the battle of Ai that they lost. For 650 years, they avoided this place. Until we come to the book of Hosea. Today, we are going to look into the valley of Achor. You see, it's so easy for us to to take our that area in our life. Maybe it was after your greatest victory. Maybe it was after your promised land that you finally obtained. It was in that moment when it seemed like finally everything's going right. And everything's going to be back on track now. When the greatest disappointment, the greatest loss in your life happens. And you find yourself in that valley of Achor. Maybe it was a loss in the family. Maybe it was somebody in the church that hurt you. Maybe it was a preacher that hurt you. Maybe it was a family member that hurt you. Maybe it seems like that the children of God is who took you to that valley and covered you with stones to kill you. And for that day until this day, you have avoided that place in your life. You have avoided the place that haunts you with memories. The place that has no outlook, that has no dreams. But today in this house, God's fixing to change what the valley of Achor means in your life. Maybe it was the church that's your valley of Achor. Maybe it's the church that's that place that every time someone brings it up, every time you walk into the doors of the church, all you remember is the pain. All you remember is the hurt and the trials and the trouble and the defeat. But today, God's going to change that in this house. It's so easy for us to see the problem as we always, mankind, or let me talk about me. If I have troubles or I fail at something or I'm struggling with something, it's human nature to blame something or someone else. If I'm a contractor, home builder, and I subcontract a lot of my work out, and it's normal that if I come in to the flooring guys and I say, why is this hump here in the floor? Or why is this tile coming up? They always have someone else to blame. It's the foundation is wrong, or it's the subfloor is wrong. It's never their fault. It's always someone else's fault. And we do the same thing in church. Why am I struggling? Well, it's because of the pastor. It's because of this one or my brothers or my sisters. Or it's because of the church. If we had a better church, or if we had better this or better that. That is not the problem. It's time that we look in the mirror and we say, he is not my problem. He is not the reason that I'm not living for God like I should. It's not him that's causing me to go astray. It's me. And it's my relationship with God. That is how you're going to be saved. Your relationship with your pastor, while it be good and needed, that's not what's going to get you into the pearly gates. It's your relationship with God. And I think so many times we have relationship problems in the church. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The The children of Israel had issues. Just, we're not the first generation that has issues. The children of Israel, all through the Old Testament, you can read where they would, God would do miraculous things for them and deliver them and bring them out. And they would worship God. And it wasn't long until they're right back into the mess that they was in. And then God would come and He would get them out of that mess. And they would go right back into the same mess, worshiping false gods. And we look at them today and we say, what are they thinking? Why? When we understand that we do the same exact things. We face this problem or this obstacle and we're, oh God, get me through this. And God shows up and takes care of things. And it's not long till we find ourselves right back in the same mess that He just brought us out. The children of Israel had once again fallen into the worship of idol gods. They had once again fallen away from God. And God is trying to draw them back to Him. It's His church. It's His people. And so God had, He has, I think, a sense of humor sometimes. Because God don't work like me and you think He should. And like we have planned out. God decides that to show my people, to show the church of this great falling away, where they're really at, He calls a prophet and He gets Hosea. And Hosea, I want you. You are the prophet for this hour. Hosea, I want you. I'm going to make your life a show and tell for the church. When the church looks at your life, they're going to see them in your life. Hosea, I want you to go marry a prostitute. God, I'm sure Hosea had a couple of prayer meetings over this. God, are you joking? You want me? I'm the prophet. I'm the man of God. These people are dependent on me to preach to them. And you want me to go marry a harlot? God, are you off your rocker? What's going on? And so Hosea does as God instructs. And He tells Hosea, when you marry this harlot, I not only want you to marry her, but I want you to love her. I want you to love her like I love the church. I want you to love her with an unconditional love. And so Hosea does just that. I believe that Hosea in his marriage, I'm sure that his marriage started off just like we seen yesterday with the shakers flying, right? And the rice throwing and whatever else they did back then for the wedding. It was a party, a feast.
They had a celebration for this wedding. Hosea is finally married, howbeit to a harlot. I'm sure as he started out, as the marriage started out, Hosea done just as God told him and loved her with an unconditional love. I'm sure she had the new SUV. I'm sure she had the new house with the three-car garage or the three-horse garage or whatever. I'm sure she had the very best that he could provide to her. He loved her unconditional. He knew her past. He knew her faults, just as God knows our past and our faults and our temptations and our struggles. But still, he loved her besides all of that, even though all of that was the case. He loved her unconditionally. The harlot that God told him to marry, her name was Gomer. How would you like to wake up every morning and roll over and say, "Good morning, Gomer"? Surely he had a nickname or something for her. Oh, Gome. God told Hosea to go and marry Gomer. And you see, the problem starts from the very start. The name Gomer has opposite meanings. The name Gomer means to make complete, but it also means to vanish. It means to make whole and to disappear. I think every one of us have a little bit of Gomer inside of us. Every one of us have a little Jekyll and Hyde in us. That one service we are on fire for God, and the next service we don't even show. One service we have been made complete in Him, and Monday we have vanished out of His presence. We each one of us have a little bit of Gomer in us. Each one of us have a little bit of, "This is my church. This is my pastor. This is my brothers and sisters." Just to go home and on Monday, we're not sure if this is how we want to live or not. We're not sure if this is really what we're after or not. And that is the Gomer that I want to preach to today. Gomer and Hosea, they had children. It seemed like that when Hosea married Gomer, that maybe the relationship was so good. It was like Hosea, maybe he really did know what he's doing. Maybe this is really going to work. And they had a son. Their first son, God named Jezreel, which means victory. When we start out living for God, There's nothing more that describes that than victory. We come down to an altar. We are baptized in His name and filled with the Holy Ghost. And we'll stand and say, I wouldn't trade this for anything. There's nothing that compares to His presence. There's nowhere I'd rather be than in His courts. And we have victory in our life.
That's right.
But it's not long until Hosea and Gomer have another child. And this is a daughter, and they named her Loriana. Loriana means confused, not enjoying the father's love, pulled back and forth. Does that not describe our relationship with God? As time goes, we're no longer super excited about His love. It becomes routine and mundane to us, and it's just another Sunday service. It's just another worship service. And we're confused in our minds, and we're pulled back and forth. We're pulled from the church to the world. And the enemy will confuse our minds that we're not even enjoying the love of the Father anymore. And we will start doing it out of habit and out of ritual instead of having a relationship with Him. Soon they have their third child. The third child is named Loama. Loama means completely detached. Totally separated from the Father's love. It means not my people. We go from victory to not enjoying the love of the Father, to totally separated from the Father. Let me take you there. The Hosea, Gomer, I can imagine them as they go to bed one night, and in the middle of the night, a baby cries. Hosea turns over, just like all of us good fathers do. Gomer, the baby's crying. Any fathers in the house? I got to work in the morning. Gomer. Gomer, can you get the baby? There's no answer. And he probably takes his hand and feel. Gomer's gone. He gets up and turns on the lantern. I don't know if they had lanterns in or not. Lights a candle, whatever he does. Turns on the LED lights. Sorry. And Gomer's not there. Gomer's gone. Hosea, I can imagine as he goes to the closet
and puts him on some clothes. And he goes to Hosea, to Gomer's closet, and he pulls out a dress for her. And he goes in search of her, looking for Gomer. Gomer's nowhere to be found. And he goes into the night looking for Gomer. Isn't that just like God? He goes looking for us. And I can imagine as he's searching for her, and maybe he goes to Walmart, McDonald's. No Gomer. And he continues his search into the night. And there is, he goes on to the other side of the tracks, if you will. And there he finds his love in the arms of another man. There he finds his wife dirty, crying, broken. Gomer picks her up. He wipes the dirt out of her face. He puts a new clothes on her. And he starts taking her back to his house. I can imagine the conversation would have been difficult. Put yourself in his shoes. I'm sure on the way back, Gomer, what happened? Gomer, why? Did I need to buy you more flowers? Why? I've tried to love you with everything I can, with every beat of my heart. Why? Gomer, we've got 3 kids at home. There's somebody watching you. Somebody depending on you. Somebody's following you. Why? And she says, I don't know. I don't know why. I tried to do it all on my own. I tried to love you. I really want to be your wife. I really want to be your spouse. I don't know why I done that. I don't know why I left. And that's just like us. How many times have we come in church on a Sunday night? Being apostolic, loving the apostolic way. And on Monday, God calls your name. Eric, Eric, where you at? There's a baby crying. There's somebody depending on you. There's somebody following you. Where you at, Eric? Just to see that I'm going right back into the mess that he brought me out of. And God brings you back into his house. And he says, what more can I do?
What do I need to do? Do I need to bless you more? Do I need to give you a better job? What more? I've loved you unconditionally. Even though your failures and your faults, I've loved you. I've blessed you. I've gave you a family. What more do I need to do? I can see the Omaz. Hosea brings her back into his house and things seem to be going good. It's been 6 weeks now. I think she's finally over the hump. I think she's finally got it. Just to hear a baby crying. Gomer, where you at? Where you at, Gomer? And he gets up in the middle of the night, puts him on some clothes. He goes and he gets Gomer some clean clothes. And he goes looking for her. Again. He goes to, he probably skips Walmart and McDonald's this time. Because this is a reoccurring thing that's going on. He goes to the wrong side of the tracks. And he says, have you seen Gomer? He's looking for her in all of the wrong places, you might say. He's going to the bars and to the wherever else. Looking for his love. Looking for his bride. And he never finds her. I could see him going through the streets. Gomer! Gomer! Where are you at? And after searching for her, he ends up passing the county square. And as he's passing, he hears the sound of an auctioneer as he's auctioning off slaves. As he looks through the slaves that's in cuffs and in chains, and in bondage, he looks three or four back. Hosea, Gomer, what are you doing here? You are the wife of a prophet. You have got a husband that loves you unconditionally. Why are you there? You're in bondage. You're in chains. And as Hosea waits, as the auctioneer is auctioning off these slaves, Hosea waits till finally Gomer is on the auction. And the average price of a slave in that day was 30 pieces of silver. Hosea, as Gomer takes the auction block, they start the bidding. And Hosea repurchases Gomer for 15 pieces of silver. because sin and this world will take you and destroy your life. Gomer brought half the price of any other slave. Hosea gets her and he takes the chains off of her. He wipes her face. I'm sure she was crying. I don't know how I got here. I don't know how I ended up here. Hosea puts some new clothes on her. And they start that all familiar journey back home. And on their journey home, they get to the valley of Achor. They get to the place that they tried to avoid. The place that they only can remember what used to be. Only can remember the defeat. And Hosea, I can see him as he's walking that journey home. And I'm sure Gomer is once again trying to explain herself. I don't know why. I don't know how. Hosea, I really love you. Hosea, I really want to be your wife. And they get to that valley of Achor. And God talks to Hosea. And Hosea looks at Gomer. And he says, Gomer, I know the problem. Gomer, I know you're really trying. I understand you really want to be my wife. You really want to be my bride. But Gomer, this is a problem bigger than you. This is a problem bigger than me. This is a relationship problem, Gomer. He says, Gomer, from this day forward, Gomer, up till now, you've known me as Belai. Up till now, you've known me as Belai. Belai means slave. Belai means taskmaster. Belai means owner. Lord. Gomer, up until this day, you've only known me as Lord. You've only known me as taskmaster. You've only known me as your owner. But from this day forward, Gomer, no more are you going to know me as Belai. But from now on, you're going to know me as Ishai. Ishai means lover. Ishai means husband. Ishai means savior. From this day forward, you're not going to know me as master anymore, but you're going to know me as lover. You're not going to know me as the slave owner anymore. But now I'm your Savior. No more am I, yeah, no more are you my slave. But now, from this day forward, you can sit down. From this day forward, you're my wife. You're my bride. God has brought us in this house. Some of you have trouble living for God. You want to. You really down deep inside, you long to live for God. But you're having trouble. But you're having problems. And you find yourself drifting away. You find yourself just like the children of Israel, right back in the same mess. And the problem is not you. The problem is not the God that you serve. The problem is not the pastor or the first lady. But the problem is our relationship with God. He says, God says, I will give her vineyards. From this day. And the valley of Achor. For a place of hope. For a door of hope. And she shall sing there. As in the days of her youth. And in that day. When she came up out of Egypt. Some in this house has avoided the valley of Achor your whole life. You have avoided it's only trouble. It's only rules and regulations. It's only, it's like I'm a slave. It's only bondage. I want to live for him. I want to serve him. But the rules and the laws. God said from this day. No more are you going to know me as Balai. But from this day forward, I'm no longer the Lord. I'm no longer your slave owner. But from this day forward, I want to be your lover. From this day forward, I want to be your husband. From this day forward, I want to be your house of God has become that valley of Achor. All you can remember is the hurt. All you can remember is the pain of how somebody hurt you. Somebody let you down. You have tried your best to avoid it. But there's something down inside of you that wants it. And God has time after time come searching for you and brought you back into his house. But you just, I can't live this way. I can't do it. It's crazy living that way, some may say. It won't hurt anything to do this or to do that. It's crazy. Some of the standards of the church. It's not going to hurt anything. Why would you live like that? Why would you do that? As long as you know him as Belial, it's hard living for God. As long as you know him as your slave master, it's very difficult living for God. But when you know him as Ishai, when you know him as your lover, as your friend, it's easy living for God. When I leave for work in the mornings, I leave the house. Brother Smith, my wife has never told me, don't find you another woman today. Don't mess around today. Because we have a relationship. And there's places that I don't go. Not because I'm scared of her, but because I love her. There's people I don't talk to. Not because I'm scared of her, but because I love her. There's things in living for God I do. Not because I'm scared of the pastor. Not because I'm scared of God. But because I fell in love with him. Because I have a relationship with him. When you mess up, when you stumble, if you know him as your slave master, there's fear. What would a slave do if he made a mistake on the plantation? He would run. But when is your husband, when is your lover, you come running back to him. I know what it's like that I know what it's like to be very successful in business. I don't say that braggingly. I know what it's like to make $12 million in 1 year. And I don't want that out. Brother Smith, I also know what it's like to walk into the house and take her by the hand. See, baby, everything we dreamed of, everything we've had our plans for, it's all gone. I know what it's like. That when that many men in my situation has went and jumped off of bridges or took off running. But I know what it's like to have a relationship that when you mess up, you come back in and say, "Here I am." And she looks you in the eyes and says, "I don't love the money. I don't love the things. I didn't marry that stuff. I love you. I married you." There's some in this house today. But you've tried your best living for God. And your best isn't good enough. You only find yourself right back in the hog pen. You only find yourself getting farther, not enjoying the Father's love. You find yourself separating yourself from the church and from others. And today, God wants to make that valley of Achor into a door of hope. You may think your dreams are shattered. You may think yesterday is history. But God's going to take your bad dreams and give you a new dream today. God's going to take your pile of stones that others have buried you with and give you a door of hope. He's going to make where everybody else said they're done, they're over with. But God said no. In that same valley, she's going to sing like she did in her youth. She's going to shout like she did the day she come out of bondage. In this same valley. When you know him as Ishai, when you know him as Belai, he's your Lord. But when you know him as Ishai, he's your lover. When you know him as Belai, it's commands. But when you know him as Ishai, it's understanding. When you know him as Belai, you can't wait to leave. But when you know him as Ishai, you can't wait to get back. When you know him as Belai, it's fear. But when you know him as Ishai, it's fullness. When you know him as Belai, it's demands. But when you know him as Ishai, it's devotion. When you know him as Belai, you despise this. But when you know him as Ishai, you adore him. When you know him as Belai, you're looking for a way out. But when you know him as Ishai, you're looking for a way to stay. When you know him as Balai, you're made to. But when you know him as Ishai, you live to. When you know him as Balai, it's a job. But when you know him as Ishai, it's a joy. When you know him as Balai, it's work. But when you know him as Ishai, it's worship. When you know him as Balai, it's ownership. And when you know him as Ishai, it's friendship. You can be seated. While we stand in this house, every head bowed, every eye closed. There's some in this house that only know him as Lord. You only remember the hurt and the stonings. But in this house today, God wants to make a door of hope. In the valley of Achor, there was a group of boys that was together, and they was, all of the boys was smoking. They offered this one boy a cigarette. He said, no. They laughed at him and they made fun of him. What's wrong? Come on, take one. What's wrong? Are you scared of your daddy? You scared your father will hurt you? That boy looked back at him. He said, no, I'm not afraid my father will hurt me. But I'm afraid I'll hurt my father. Quit living for God out of fear. Quit trying to live for him, only knowing him as Lord. But he wants to be your lover. He wants you to be his bride. If you're living this way out of fear of the pastor, or if you're only living this way out of fear of hell, you ain't gonna. You ain't gonna survive. You might for a little while. Sooner or later, you'll be right back. But if you fall in love with him, I'm not living this life out of bondage. I'm not living this way because I'm made to. I'm living this way because I've fallen in love with you. Tonight as he, or today as he plays something, this altar's open. He wants to be more than just the Lord of your life. He wants to know you. He wants more than just be Lord.
but he wants to be. Lover.
I wonder if it's asking too much if we all gather around this altar today. Your relationship with God may be fine right now, but it never hurts to fall in love with him all over again. It never hurts to recommit yourself to him all over again. Say, God, not because I have to. God, not because I'm made to. You don't have to leave this house like you came. I invite you to fall in love with him. I invite you to fall in love with him. God, you're more than a ritual. You're more than a routine, God. I've fallen in love with you, Jesus. surrender all. I surrender all. Oh, to thee, my blessed Savior.
I wonder if we can connect with someone beside us.
Surrender.
You never know who's standing beside you that needs God.
I surrender
God, this house right now, God.
I surrender
every broken heart, every wounded spirit.
To thee, my blessed Savior.
God, right now, let the anointing power of the Holy Ghost falling in love. I wonder if we can sing that. We don't even need music. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. It's the best thing I ever done. Let's sing it again. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Best thing I ever done. I promise you, falling in love with Him will be the best thing you'll ever do. Quit trying to live for Him as a slave. But He wants to be your lover. God bless you.
I wonder if we can lift our hands all across this place right now. Can we lift our hands all across this place? God spoke some things into some lives. He doesn't even know all of your lives, but God does. God spoke some things into your spirit today that